grace of God is following you. Amen. That's your portion. That's your portion. Listen, don't let the world tell you what your portion is. You let God tell you what your portion is. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, how many of you got your Bibles with you? Oh, let's see them. I love to see good. Oh, that looks good. That looks good. That looks good. You can put them down. Amen. Oh, turn to Acts chapter 20. I want to talk about our calling in God today. How many of you know that you're called? You are called. Everybody has a race to run. Amen? You're running your race. We call it life sometimes, but it's a race that you're running. And you know, in this race, we have to be careful and make sure that we're running and qualifying as we ought to be running and qualifying for this race of life. The race of life is not what the world calls the rat race. That's not the race I'm talking about. You know, you get up, you make the donuts, you come home, you get up, you make the donuts, you come home, you get up, or you get up, you go to widget factory, you come home, or whatever it is that you're doing, you know, to pay the bills. That's not the race we're talking about. That's not the calling I'm talking about. Yes, we live in this world, but we're not of this world. And there is something that happens. There is, if you will, in a sense, a duality that we're living here, that we're living a natural life that's true, but we're also living a spiritual life. And the spiritual life is greater. The spiritual life is what should determine our natural life. You know, where I live, what I do, my vocation, all those things are determined by this calling of God upon my life. Amen? I don't look and say, well, how can I make the most money? That's the world's way. Well, I'll do this or I'll do that because I can make the most money. No, listen, I'm doing what I do because what I'm running the race that's been given to me. Now, your race is different from mine. There'll be similarities, but you've got a different race. But you know what? We all got to understand God has called me. And it's not just to make the donuts or go to the widget factory or whatever it is. That may be a part of it that we're doing, but it's something greater than that. In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, the Apostle Paul is speaking here. He said, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. Oh boy, that sure doesn't reflect the age we live in, does it? Unfortunately, sometimes it doesn't even reflect the attitude of the church. Because we're doing everything we can to get life better, to preserve my life, to make life more comfortable. Don't require too much of me, Pastor. Don't ask me to do too much. Don't ask me to come and pray. Don't ask me to serve. Don't ask me to do anything. I've just come because I'm hoping that you're going to be able to make my life better and better and better. And if you can't, I'm going to go somewhere else. And see if they can make it better and better and better. Yeah, how's that working? Let me read this again. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. How has the attitude and the posture of the church in its beginnings in Acts changed from the posture and the attitude of the church today? He said, if only I may finish the race. What was Paul concerned about? Man, I tell you what, I hope I can get a bigger tent. This one's okay, but boy, if I could just get a bigger tent. You know? Man, I tell you what, that camel's pretty good, but boy, I saw that horse, that centurion riding, I'd like to have one like that. No, he said, I want to finish my race. Listen, we live in a secular society. A secular mindset can get on us so that we elevate the natural above the spiritual. We elevate this natural life. Yes, we are living a natural life in a sense, but we've elevated, we've allowed the world to elevate it above the spiritual, above the eternal. And if you and I are going to finish our course, it cannot be by looking to and governing our life by the natural things around us. I do not govern my decision based on whether or not this will help my natural circumstance. Will this make life easier for me? Will this make life better for me? Will this put more money in my pocket? We have to move beyond those issues and say, is this the race God's called me to run? It's quiet out there this morning. You say, I came to hear how I was going to be blessed. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's no greater blessing than being in the will of God in the race of your life. Amen. He'll take you places you never knew you could go. He'll do things through you you never thought you could do. You'll see lives change through your life that you just will amaze you and astound you and humble you. And I'm telling you what, it will create a hunger in you for more of God like you've never had before. It may take you to the nations, or it may take you across the street, but it will take you somewhere. Amen? Because I've never seen a race yet that was run standing still. That's an impossibility, isn't it? People talk about, I'm running the race. Well, when you got to get out of the starting blocks. Isn't that true? And here's the thing. No one can run your race for you. You know? I can't run it. Pastor Dwayne can't run the race for you. We can't run your race. I'm going to encourage you in your race. That's why I'm here. To encourage you, to help you any way I can to run your race. To maybe watch out for some pitfalls, watch out for some detours, stay on the track, stay on the course, to encourage you that to draw upon the strength of God in you to run your race. But you have to run it. You have to get up, off, and stop being a spiritual couch potato. And get up and say, bless God, I'm not just going to be thrilled about the race that Benny Hinn's running or somebody else is running. And I'm all excited about that. Bless God, I want to get up and be in my own race. Isn't that right? And too often that's what it is, isn't it? Man, or we go to a great, and there's nothing wrong with that, but we go to a great seminar and we get really blessed and we think we're doing something. You didn't do anything. You just went and got blessed. That don't mean you're doing anything. Now you went and watched somebody who is doing something. Come on. Oh, I'm going to meddling now, didn't I? But nobody can run your race for you. And you got to just get up and say, bless God, God, I'm going to get into the race. I've got a lane I'm going to run in. I can't run in Brother Copeland's race. I can't run in Brother Savelle's or whoever, anybody you want to know. I can't run in their lane. They've got a lane they're running in. If I try to run in their lane, I'm going to be disqualified. I've got to run in my lane, my race. And don't judge your race by how somebody else is running. Because you don't know what God's called them to do. Stop worrying about them. That's the Holy Ghost's job anyway. I want to encourage you in your race. You can encourage me when you're in your lane. You run by me. Encourage me as you go by. Don't trip me. Don't trip me. Encourage me. Don't bump me out of my lane. Encourage me. Amen. But no one else is responsible for fulfilling your race. The call of God. Your calling of God. What has He called you to do? From the time I got saved, I wasn't raised in church, but from the time I got saved, something on the inside of me just told me this is what I ought to do. Just something on the inside. I was studying. I got saved my senior year in college. I was studying to be a lawyer. I wanted to go into law. That's what I thought I wanted to do. I'd invested a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. Because I had to pay my own way through school. I can't tell you how many peanut butter sandwiches I had to eat. And sometimes, you know, and those were the good days. Some days I didn't eat nothing. And man, I'd invested a lot in that. I'd invested 5 years of blood, sweat, and tears into that. And I got saved and all that went right out the window. And nobody told me I should do that. I didn't know. I didn't know what that was. You know, all my family thought I'd done stripped the gear. Well, you can serve God doing this. Well, I suppose you could, but something on the inside of me, I didn't know what it was. I knew that wasn't it no more. That wasn't my race anymore. And here's the thing. You need to get in touch on the inside of you as a believer and find out, what is my race? The reason some people are unhappy is you're not in your race. You may be comfortable, you may have security, but you're not happy, you're not fulfilled because you're not in the race God called you to. Boy, this is good preaching, Pastor. Good teaching, isn't it? Because I'm not here, you know. I was in the Subway shop the other day, Friday. I was getting a Subway, a meal and a sandwich and everything there, and I was talking to the lady there in it, and somehow the conversation got around about all this stuff. You know, everybody's talking about the economy and everything like that, you know. We were talking about it, and I said, I'm going to tell you what. I said, you know, I don't know how everybody else is living. I said, but I'm not living, you know, the way this culture is wanting us to live, and that is whoever dies at the end with the most toys wins. That's the culture of this world. That's the voice of this world. That's the call of this world. The call of this world says, oh, if you've got this and that and the other, boy, you've got it made. Well, if you think that's true, ask all those people out in Hollywood that's on their eighth marriage. They got plenty of money, but what have they got? And not only in this life, but in the life to come, what have they laid up? I'm running a race that with eternity in view. Now notice this. He said, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. Do you know that it's not just preachers that applies to? Amen? It's not just missionaries that go out to other nations that it applies to? Are you listening to me? That applies to each one of us. If you don't have a task, if you don't have a race to run under God, why are you still here? To pay off your house? That somebody, if the Lord tarries in 300 years, it's not going to be there? Hello? See, we've got to look at things in the light of eternity as believers. We've got to look and say, do I believe this gospel? Do I believe this book? Do I believe the God of heaven, the eternal God, has something more for me than just making a buck, making a living, accumulating stuff, making my life easier? But perhaps, like the Apostle Paul, there is a call on your life. Perhaps there is a race that you've yet to enter into, that somehow you knew that, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you put on some shoes that are just, you know, they're about a half size too small. Man, and you're trying to wear those things, and you look at them, and boy, they're good-looking shoes, but, man, that's nice leather, and, man, that was the style I wanted, but something's not just right. And that may be where you're at. You may feel in life, I don't understand it. I thought that if, you know, if I got, you know, accumulated this stuff or got that degree or got this level of education or this level of expertise or started my own business or whatever it was, I thought when I'd done that, I was going to be happy. I was going to be fulfilled. But something still's not right. It's like my shoes are too small for me. And you know what? That is the Spirit of God on the inside of you saying, listen, you haven't yet found your race. You haven't yet found that call that I have for you to enter in. And you know, many times fear will try to keep us out from it. Yeah. Oh, listen, I'm no stranger to fear. I'll tell you what, if you're going to follow God, you won't be a stranger to fear. Because fear will dog you every time you make a decision. Every time you make a choice, we're going with God. We're going in faith. We're going to step out where we can't see. We're going to step out where it looks like there is no way. We're going to go over here, and I've never done this before. I've never been there before. Don't know the way. Got to depend on God. Got to trust in God. I'm going to tell you what, fear will try to rise up. Say, boy, you better stay where it's comfortable. You better stay where you know. You better stay because I'm telling you what, you're going to step out there. You're going to make a fool of yourself. You're going to fall. You're going to fail. You're not going to make it. And it tries to hold you out of the call that God has for your life. But I tell you what, God and the grace of God is bigger than any failure. Amen?
Amen.
I proved that too. Complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of what? Testifying to the gospel of God's grace. There's your calling. You and I, every one of us, are to testify to the gospel of God's grace. That's what I want my life to be. I want it to exhibit that in the way I live it. I want to exhibit that in the words that I speak, in the prayers that I pray, when nobody is watching, when nobody but God is seeing. When I give of my time, my talents, my resources, when I give of my life, that is what it's about, is to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. I know what it did for me. I know what it can do for others. And I want those who are in darkness, those who are out there who are struggling, those who are hopeless, those who are helpless, I want to reach out and testify to them of the gospel of the grace of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, one of these days is coming. Say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? One of these days, we're going to be in glory. And I'll tell you what, the older I get, the faster those one of these days, I feel like, you know, I feel like it's a sign coming, rushing up into my windshield. But one of these days, we're going to be there, aren't we? One of these days, this life is going to be over. Can I get a witness? I'm not trying to bring you down. I'm trying to help you get a perspective that we should have. And so here's the thing. I've got to make this time I've got here, it's got to count. It's got to count for something. And I don't believe Jesus is going to give out rewards based on who had the biggest house and drove the fanciest car. Nothing wrong with that. You know, I don't care. I drive any car you can afford. Have at it. Enjoy it. Be blessed. I'm not against that. But that's not my purpose. That's not why I'm living life. Amen? Jesus walked most everywhere he went. He was pretty spiritual. Isn't that right? Nothing wrong with that, but he was a pretty spiritual guy, wasn't he? Yeah, I'd say so. So here's the thing. We have to understand there is a call upon our lives. Now let me just share a few things, facts about these calls that are common to all of us. Now each one of us have a particular and peculiar race, but there's some things that are common to it. First of all, we're called to persevere. If you're going to run your race, you're going to have to persevere. Look at Acts 18. We have to persevere. Again, our culture shapes our thinking and our worldview. We are a generation, more than any generation before us, that want it now. And if I can't have it now, it probably must not be worth having. Come on. We are a now generation. I've got to have it today. Actually, to tell you the truth, I needed it yesterday. Isn't that true? You work in the business world, you really know that, don't you? You can't get it done. If you'd got it done last week, it'd have been late. I mean, that's the attitude. Boy, God help you if you ever deal with people and it's something is not right now. Oh my goodness, we complain and we whine and we murmur and we pitch a fit. Now, I'm not talking about any of you, but you know people like that. But in this call of God, listen, I'm going to tell you, we're running a marathon, not a sprint. We're running for the long term. And see, when you get that understanding, you realize, okay, doesn't matter. Maybe I've had a little setback here. Maybe this didn't work out just right there. But you know what? I'm in it for the long haul. And I'm not worried about one thing is not going to throw my race. One failure is not going to determine my race. I've got my eyes fixed on the prize. The prize, the line there is in eternity. That's where I'm running my race. So we have to learn to persevere. In Acts 18, we see here, and let me just say this. In running our race, testifying to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have to persevere. And one of the reasons we have to do that is because, you know what? You've got to keep running your race to find those who will receive what you have. Do you know you're not going to be able to help everybody? Come on. I'm not out to get everybody in this church. I'm out to get everybody that is open and is supposed to be in this church. But I'm not out to get everybody in this church. Why? Because some people won't listen to you. Some people are too, whether they're hard-headed or hard-hearted, some people you won't be able to reach. And, you know, Jesus didn't reach everybody. He was perfect. He raised the dead. I mean, you're not going to top what he did? He didn't reach everybody. Everybody didn't receive his message. Everybody didn't understand him. So the reason I say you have to persevere is because what? There are going to be a lot of people that are going to reject you. A lot of people that are not going to receive you. A lot of people are not going to be as thrilled and happy about what you've received as you are. And you're going to run into those people if you're running your race. Now, if you're not running your race, you'll never know whether they are or not, because you'll never testify to the grace of God. You're just busy, you know, keeping your head down, as they say, and keeping your nose clean. And the best way to keep it clean in the world's view is to keep it on that grindstone. Nose to the grindstone. But listen, the Bible says as Christians, what? We lift up our heads. We walk with our heads lifted up. You know why? Because I have a purpose. I have a call. It's not ego. It's not vanity. It's not pride. It's this. You know what? I have a purpose. And you know what? With my eyes lifted up, I can see better. Yeah. Yep. What can you see doing this? Your feet. But I lift up my eyes. What? Then I begin to see people. And I want to tell you what. If you will just lift up your head as you run this race and see people, look at their countenance. Are you listening? Look at their countenance. It will give them away every time. You can look on their countenance. You can tell whether they're burdened down by life, whether they're fearful or worried or concerned. Well, you can tell. But, you know, the problem is we're so busy, you know, at the widget factory or making the donuts and living what we think is life, we can't lift up our eyes and see anybody. Well, I'm just too busy. I don't have time for anybody. Well, you're too, excuse me, doggone busy. You're too busy. You know, I would just suggest this. It might be a good time for us to reassess some of the busyness in our life. What is that busyness producing that has to do with the race you're called to live? Amen. Are you busy for the kingdom? Are you busy for running your race? Or is it things that this world has said, this is important, get busy. This is important, get busy. Come on. Amen. You know, Cindy and I are very blessed. We have a nice home. It's comfortable. We enjoy it. But you know what? We're no happier there than we were when we first got married and we were living on the top of the Bible Institute and we had a bed about this wide and we both slept in it. And that's all we owned. Well, we had some kind of chest of drawers thing. That was it. You know what? We were just as happy then as we are now. We were just as fulfilled then as we are now. You know why? Because we were running our race. We got up every day. Man, we were happy. Man, we thought we were millionaires. We didn't know any different. We just believed in God every day for the money to keep that ministry going, to keep that Bible school open, to train those people, to feed those kids. Man, those kids, young kids, they could eat. Man, every day, man, we'd go out and, you know, we'd have to take four or five of these big old burlap sacks. You know what I'm talking about? These big ones, you know, because there wasn't any supermarkets. We didn't have a car, but we didn't care, man. We'd hop on the bus or taxi, and we'd take four or five students with us, take all these big bags, and we'd go to market. And we'd go to buying food for all these people, bring it home, cook it up, feed it up, do that day in, day out. We were just as happy as we could be. We were just as blessed as we could be. You know, we were seeing lives change. We were running our race. Now, that may not be your race. But what I'm saying is, we were two young people. We just got out of college. We had our degrees. It looked like we were throwing our life away. It looked like, what in the world's the matter with these crazy people and everything? But you know what? We were running our race. And we didn't care about whether somebody else here in the States was getting ahead of us. Which they did, from the natural. Sure they did. They got ahead of us. They had all this stuff. But you know what? We got stuff laid up they don't know about. Hallelujah. Man, we got treasure laid up, honey, they don't know about. And remember, one of these days is coming. One of these days I'm going to be up where my treasure is. I'm not where my treasure is right now. My treasure's up there. One of these days, he said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I'm going to be up with my treasure one of these days, Rick. We're going to be up with our treasure's not down here. We have to persevere. In Acts 18, verse 1, after this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on you and your heads. I am clear of my responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Now notice this. Paul did his very best to try to reach the Jews. He did. Here is the mighty Apostle Paul, called of God, saw Jesus in a vision, had a divine encounter and call of God, a man of miracles, a man of revelation, a man of anointing, a man who was wholeheartedly committed himself to his race. And you know what? He couldn't reach the Jews. You know why? He found out that wasn't his race. If you go back over there and read, God said, "I'm going to send you to the Gentiles." And as soon as he began to go to the Gentiles, you know what? He began to experience fruitfulness. Maybe you need to look. You know, we all go through struggles. Don't misunderstand me. We all go through struggles in life. If you think you're going to go through this life and not go through any struggles, boy, I'm telling you what, you need to come see me. Let me help you out, because you're going to. Amen? But thank God, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So it doesn't matter what the struggles is, because the greater one's in me, and he's going to bring me over. He's going to put me through. Isn't that right? But don't think you're not going to have anything come against you. But here's the thing. But if it seems like in your life you're not making any progress, then you may want to look like Paul and say, "Hey, am I running the race God's given me to run?" Because, listen, Paul was preaching to the Jews. That looked like a good thing. He was preaching the gospel, wasn't he? He'd called to preach the gospel. He's preaching the gospel. He was being faithful. He had gone out. He wasn't sitting down. He was doing something. But the problem was, he wasn't in what? Exactly the right lane that God had for him. And so he shifted, and when he made his shift to go to the Gentiles, then we begin to see churches planted, nations turned around, cities turned upside down, all kind of things begin to happen. And so that may not be your race, but you need to look at your life and say, "Wait a minute, if I'm not being fruitful, if I'm finding that it seems like, you know, I'm kind of at a dead end. I'm not making any progress in the race that God called me to and in my calling in life, then I need to look. Maybe you need to make an adjustment, just like Paul. Maybe you need to look and say, "Wait a minute here. I'm being faithful, I'm doing this, but maybe I need an adjustment. Maybe you need to make just a little bit of a change, a little bit of a shift there." You know, sometimes the shift is in our attitude. You know, the Bible said, God said, if you be willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. Sometimes we're obedient, but we're not willing, are we? We've got an old stinking obedience. You know what I mean? I'm obeying, but I'm griping about it all the time. I'm obeying, but I'm complaining about it all the time. Come on. I guess I'll get up and go to church. Doggone. Well, I guess I'll go in there in the prayer closet and pray. Doggone. Come on. And it may be that it just needs to be a shift in our attitude there. You ever had to straighten yourself out? Boy, I have to. I have to grab a hold of myself sometimes and say, "Hey, wait a minute, buddy. This is a stinking attitude. It just stinks. I know God don't like it. I don't even like it." And so I have to understand what I've got a race to call, run. And I'm going to persevere in this thing. So sometimes we need to make an adjustment. So we persevere in this thing. And understand this, you know, you're not going to be able to help everybody. And don't let rejection stop you from running your race. Because not everybody's going to be excited about it. Let's face it, that's just a fact, isn't it? Man, you're all thrilled about what God's called you to do. You're busy, you're being diligent, you're being faithful, you're doing this and that. And here's the thing we have to understand, too. Sometimes, you know, we're so excited about our race, we think it's everybody else's. And if we're not careful, we're trying to start a parade rather than a race. You know, because we want everybody to follow me. No, you get in your lane and run the race. And I'm going to cheer you on, and you cheer me on, and I'm going to encourage you, and you encourage me. And God is going to orchestrate this thing so that as you run your race and I run mine and she runs hers and he runs it, somehow God's going to coordinate all this thing to what? You know what? It's going to build the kingdom. It's going to build the kingdom. Because when I'm faithful to run the race, I'm called to, you're faithful to run the race you're called to, then, you know, God's going to use that, what? To touch lives, change lives, to build the kingdom. And listen, that's what it's about. That's what it's about. Look down there. You're still in that same chapter. Look in verse 9. It says, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. That's a good word for you. Amen. For I am with you. No one's going to attack you and harm you because what? I have many people in this city. You know, evidently Paul was starting to feel a little bit discouraged. And the Lord appeared to him and said, Lord, he said, Paul, don't worry. He said, you keep on speaking. Don't be fearful. Don't be discouraged. You keep on speaking. Listen, you keep on running your life, race. You keep on living the life God called you to live. You keep on doing the right things of the gospel of grace. You keep doing that in your life. And you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, He will encourage you. He will tell you, listen, you're doing the right thing. Keep running the race. Keep running the race. You're going to touch lives. You're going to change lives. You know what? You never know who you're going to, whose life you touch and change, what that's going to mean. You know, I told you the story about the guy many years ago went and held a revival meeting in North Carolina and only had a few people there, had this tent and everything. You know, only had a few people there, and out of that few people, he only had a very few people saved. One of them was some young teenager named Billy Graham. You ever heard of him? You never know your life. What if that guy got discouraged and just shut it down the night before Billy Graham got saved? Just said, you know what, this ain't worth it. I mean, my goodness, I'm giving myself. I mean, these people don't want nothing. They ain't hungry. They ain't. Come on. He just shut it down. You don't know. Don't shut down the race. Don't sit down from the race that God's called you to run. You know, at work or with your neighbors or whatever. You know, you persevere. You believe. That and know that you're in a race for life. Literally, you're in a race for life. And as I run my race, my life is pouring over into other lives. Here and there, and here and there, and here and there. And we are making a difference. Amen? Making a difference. I want to make a difference, don't you? Amen. The race, part of this race we're running, what? Is to pour ourselves into people. Look down in verse 24. I got to close. I'm not through, but I've got to stop because my time's up. Look down in verse 24. It says, meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the Scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. Look at that. What is our race about? What is touching other people's lives? It's pouring ourselves into other people. It's not how much juice can I get out of life for me. Come on. Boy, I'm telling you. You know, that's a great church. Why is it a great church? Because, man, it meets every need I got. Boy, every time I go there, man, I'm just so built up. I'm so, you know, and all that's good. But listen, let me tell you something. Listen, what are you doing with all this you're getting? What are we doing? Our life was meant to run a race. Our life was meant to pour into other people. Our life was meant to, as we live this life, you know, if the Lord tarries, when I leave this place, I want to be missed. I'm not talking about like Hollywood fame. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about it's gonna leave a vacant place. that I touched lives. I made a difference in the lives of people. Never reported on CNN. Never known about, written in a tabloid. None of that stuff. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. But I want to tell you what. When I am gone, I'm going to tell you what. This planet will be poor. Come on. I believe if we run our race, I believe that's the case. You remember when Paul was talking about over in Acts, you know, he knew his time was short. Remember how he met with the disciples at Ephesus and he told them he wouldn't see them again? Remember how they just wept and pleaded and did everything they could to try to, don't go, you know. That's a whole lot better than, you know, you died and people said, good riddance. Isn't that right? I want to mark people's life with the gospel, not with me, but with the gospel. And I believe that as we run our race, Grace, we can do that. We can do that. You know, the amazing thing is the day we live in is that we can touch people's lives who will really never know us. Are you listening? Are you listening? You're doing that every day. There's not a day goes by that we're not touching lives here at Grace. We're not touching lives. We're not touching lives. You out here in the community, in the cities where you are, in the nations that we're reaching out to with the gospel message, we're touching lives every day. Every day. You know why? Because what? We're faithful to run our race. Don't get discouraged. Be encouraged. Amen? Don't look around and say, well, wait a minute. Where's our benefit? That's not the spirit of Christ. It's not about my benefit. It's about their benefit. Amen? Are you really going to tell me, you know, that you'd be happier? I mean, if we had 50 more people here today, you'd be happier as a Christian? Would you? Nothing wrong with that. I'm all for 50 more people. But see, some people, bless their heart, they can't run the race and enjoy the day because they got all these measuring sticks out here that are natural things, and it just messes up their peace. They can't enjoy the Lord. They can't enjoy their salvation. They can't enjoy the race they're running because, I mean, you know, I can never be satisfied. You know, because we're looking at the wrong things to satisfy me. You know what satisfies me? First Him, and then secondly, the race He's given me to run. Isn't that right? And I know this, if I obey Him, all the stuff, Jesus said, will be added. Amen? I'm not a stuff seeker. I'm a God seeker. I'm a race runner. Amen? And He's got a race for you to run. Would you bow your heads just for a moment? My time's up. I want to pray for you here a minute. I want you to just take a moment. Think about the race God's called you to run.